Several years ago, I taught a series on prosperity. And it was completely different from the typical prosperity teaching that's out there. In the course of teaching that series, I think it was a total of 44 sermons long. Yeah. And, yeah. Hey, listen, I kept preaching until they gave enough. Hallelujah. Then I told them, when you've given enough, then I quit teaching on it. No, I'm joking, okay? I'm joking. But it was in the course of searching scriptures, meditating, and so forth, and sharing this sermon, this series, that the Lord showed something to me that I'm going to share with you today. In Luke chapter 18, go ahead and turn over there. Luke chapter 18. A lot of these exhortations we can just share, but I want you to see this in Scripture for yourself. I want you to visually see this as we read through it. And I'll give you a moment to get over there. Luke chapter 18. Luke is in the New Testament. Luke chapter 18 is on page 1,299. Anyway, where we're going to pick up here. Verse 9. Jesus is talking, and it says, He spake this parable unto certain people which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Now the Pharisees, they considered themselves to have a higher rank than even the priests, because they oftentimes felt like the priests were off the mark and corrupt and so forth. And you know, but the Pharisees themselves were off the mark, and they too had some corrupt members. But they considered themselves to be even holier than the priests. But the publicans, many of you are aware that the publicans were Jewish men who were tax collectors representing Rome. And the Jews considered the publicans to be traitors. The religious leaders told the publicans, you've sold out, you've sold your soul to the devil, in essence, and there's no hope for you, God doesn't love you, you're going to hell, there's no way you can ever be forgiven for anything, you have no chance to be loved by God. So here we see the Pharisee and the publican. And in verse 11, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. As if, he's praying so that he can hear him. And he stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Now, I'm exaggerating, but I don't think I'm exaggerating maybe too much, because the Pharisees, man, they love to stand on the street corners and pray. You know how Jesus taught. And I can just see this guy as he's going through this, and he's saying, oh God, I thank you that I am righteous, and I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and just kind of looking over at this publican, or like out the corner of his eye, or kind of leaning and gesturing toward him, or even as this publican. He's making the publican lower than even an adulterer. I mean, those people are bad enough, but this guy is the dog of all dogs. And then he begins justifying himself in the eyes of God. I fast twice in the week. And not only that, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off. Now, they're both in the temple. Quite frankly, I'm kind of surprised the publican's in the temple, because a lot of the Jews did not want the publicans in the temple. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven. I could see him there in the temple. His head is down. And it says, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humble himself shall be exalted. Now, you know that would have had an incredible impact on the people listening, the Jews. The publican, they figured, is already justified and righteous in the eyes of God, or the Pharisee. And then the publican, he's going to hell. I don't care, you know, what he does in the temple. He's going to hell. And then Jesus stands up and he says, this man is seeking for mercy. He recognizes his condition. The other, he justifies himself and then basically tells God, I'm justified whether you like it or not. But now, turn one page, if you will, to chapter 19 and look at this. Now, this is literally right after the event we just read. Just maybe the next day and a half or second day past this. Chapter 19, verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans. He's a chief publican. And he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. So many people, just who know, hundreds of people pressing around Jesus. And Zacchaeus didn't have a chance. He couldn't see Jesus. So, verse 4, he ran before, in other words, he runs ahead of the crowd, climbs up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Now look at this. And when Jesus came to the place, he stopped. Now when he stopped, everybody else stopped. He stopped, he looked up, and I can just see Jesus. Big smile on his face, and his eyes meet Zacchaeus' eyes. And if you're Zacchaeus, and you're not just a publican, I mean, you're the chief publican, what would be going through your mind? More condemnation? What's he going to say to me? You know, I'm clueless here. My heart would be pounding. I don't know about yours. Look at this. Jesus says, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. What did he say about that publican in the temple? He said, I tell you, this man went down to his house. Jesus says, Zacchaeus, come down, for today I must abide in your house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they, who's the they? The religious leaders, when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is lower than an extortioner, lower than an adulterer. He is a publican, a sinner. Now, I don't know what happened in between verses 7 and 8, but someday I sure hope I find out. Because during that time in Zacchaeus' house, Jesus is talking to Zacchaeus. And he's saying, Zacchaeus, I know what they have told you, but let me tell you something. The other day when you were in the temple crying out for mercy before God, God showed me your heart. And you're a man that's seeking after God. And you repent of your sins before God. They don't receive you, but I want you to know, Zacchaeus, that God has received your prayers in the temple, and He is looking to extend salvation unto you. God loves you. You're still accepted by Him. God still wants you. God has not rejected you. You can believe what you want, but I personally believe that when Jesus told that parable, the Holy Spirit had given him a vision, and he saw Zacchaeus in the temple that day crying out for mercy, and that God sent Jesus from Jerusalem specifically to Jericho to let Zacchaeus know that God had heard his prayers and that Zacchaeus had become a recipient of the mercy that he was seeking from his God. And look what Zacchaeus did. Verse 8. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, publicans did that, I restore him fourfold. Now look at what has happened. Zacchaeus was a rich man. He ripped people off through extortion, if you will, the taxes, charging them more than was necessary. And he says, not only am I going to give back to them what I took wrongly, but I will give them four times what I took. In other words, it's not just a matter of returning what I did wrong, but I'm going to go further. I'm going to dip into my own money, my own bank account, and I'm going to give them four times what I took, and then I'm going to give half of my goods to the poor. Now here's what's happened. Zacchaeus had cried out for mercy. I know the scripture doesn't say it was Zacchaeus in the temple that day, but this is too much of a coincidence for me. And you don't have to accept it, but I truly believe that the Holy Spirit may have given Jesus a vision that day and showed him Zacchaeus in that temple crying out for mercy. When the mercy of God was revealed to Zacchaeus, he was more concerned about being loved by God than he was his own financial position. And as a result of knowing that God loved him and knowing that God had extended mercy to him, he wasn't worried about his money anymore. He says, you know what? I've got a whole lot of money, but right now the mercy and the love of God means more to me than all of my wealth. Here's what I'm going to do. I am going to give to people. I'm going to help the poor. And I'm going to restore to people that I stole from. And not only will I restore to them, I will give them four times what it was that I took. When our hearts have been touched by the mercy of God, and we are truly grateful for what God has done for us, giving is not an issue. We will give. Here's the sad part, though. We take Christians, newborn Christians, and start feeding them a prosperity doctrine that directs their attention away from the mercy of God and onto their own bank accounts. And now it's no longer a matter of giving for the Lord's sake, if you will, but now it's a matter of giving in hopes that I get more into my own bank account. We actually pervert the concept of the mercy of God. The mercy of God is not about our wealth. The mercy of God is about salvation. It's about our sins being washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. It is about knowing that God loves us, accepts us, receives us, and is there for us every moment of every day. Jesus says in verse 9, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. In other words, you guys have been telling him that he's not even Jewish anymore. You've been lying to him. He is a son of Abraham just as much as you are, and God loves him just as much as he loves you Pharisees, but you've been telling Zacchaeus he's not loved. When I begin to think about what God's done for me, then I'll begin to give. And you know what? I don't need a preacher to stand up and tell me today is the special thousandfold anointing on the offerings. You stand up and say that, and you're not going to get anything from me because you're not telling me about giving out of mercy and grace. You're telling me to give so I can get and become wealthy. That's Zacchaeus was doing just the opposite. I will take out of my wealth and I'm going to give to people to let them know about the mercy of Almighty God. And this morning as we're giving, one of the, you know, this is going to sound maybe contradictory. I don't mean it to be so, but one of the best ways to start seeing increase is to give out of mercy and grace, not out of a desire to get wealth. To give out of, I want those people out there to know about Jesus. I want those people in the office next to this place to know about Jesus. I want those people out there in these other countries that have been killing people, I want them to know about the mercy and the grace of Almighty God. And so I know my God loves me, and I know He'll supply my need. I'm not worried about me. If I'm worried at all, it's for the salvation of the people who don't know Jesus Christ. Father, I give today because I want people to know You and the mercy that set me free. Praise God.